Beth Israel Deaconess Hospital President, CEO Rich Fernandez is joining us remotely to chat about how the COVID-19 pandemic is impacting himself personally. Let's get some information about that. And then, of course, the hospital as a whole. Rich, great to see you virtually. I appreciate the time.
This is kind of different, Joe, but, you know, at least I see your face. I feel like I'm sitting at a round table. I don't know about you.
Absolutely. You know, it's the new normal, as everybody's saying right now, obviously, you know, for safety's sake. So I do appreciate the opportunity to get the information out to the community. How are you doing personally?
Personally, I'm doing, I would say, just fine, right? My family's healthy. I've been able to stay healthy on this, and I'm just grateful to be here in this community. It's going across the world, across the United States, and our fellow folks in New York, my heart just goes out to them. I can't believe that's 3 hours away from us happening here. So it's really, we feel it. I think Eastern Massachusetts, I would say we have done a lot over the last several weeks. I've been just amazed, not just the healthcare community, right? It's cities, governments, people crossing barriers that we've never seen before. I hope we never see it again to have a pandemic like this, but it does, when you galvanize people around a common foe like this COVID-19 virus, really can do amazing things. And I think through this all, whether it's virtual Zoom meetings or telecommuting or televisits, there's so much that we'll learn from this, unfortunately, from this horrible kind of crisis.
Yeah, when you kind of first realized that this was going to be of this magnitude, what were some of your immediate concerns at the hospital?
I'll tell you what, first and foremost, I was so glad that we're part of a large system. Being part of the Beth Israel Lahey system has been just an incredible help for a community hospital like BID Milton. Whether it's getting supplies, shifting supplies around, I mean, we were actually, BID Milton, we saw a lot more patients than some of our other colleagues at Plymouth and Needham, kind of on the South Shore area. And, you know, early on in this, we had a lot of patients on ventilators at this hospital. So we actually had, I think, two or three ventilators moved from Plymouth to here because that's where the need was. And that, you know, I know that's going up within systems, and it's also going to go, you know, whether it's state resources or federal resources, that's happening. And that's what we need to do in a situation like this. We've opened at the Beth Israel system, New England Baptist Hospital, known for, you know, orthopedics only, is now a medical hospital. We've opened it up, and we send patients there so that we can handle appropriate patients. But it's just been amazing being part of the system. At Milton Hospital, I could not be prouder. This place has amazed me. The people, this culture of kind of collaboration, teamwork, and really rising to the challenge. You know, we have nurses getting trained, cross-trained to be in the ICU or up on the floors, doctors volunteering their time to help us with surge planning, staff doing anything we ask for them. If it's coming in on weekends, staffing doors, our team has just been incredible. And I am very, very proud to be part of Milton and be part of this community, both in this region, right? And that's, I think people, it's been heartwarming despite all the challenges.
Yeah. How many COVID-19 patients do you have there now?
So like I said, we actually have so remember, COVID is the virus. If they're in our hospital, they're here because of some other medical condition that's either aggravated or otherwise we would send them home. Once they're medically cleared, we send them home or, you know, to whatever avenue to get them home to quarantine. So we've had consistently over the last week, anywhere from 50 to 60 patients, whether they're in our ICU or not. And given that we have no elective surgery, they make up probably 70 to 80%. Someone who's either positive, we're testing them, or they've been ruled out negative for COVID. So we have a large number of patients here at the hospital. But like I said, there's no treatment for it. We're treating the other medical symptoms. But it's really, you know, if you walked in our hospital today, the parking lots are empty. The emergency department's seeing about half the visits they normally see, but they're many of them are more complicated, and our staff have to gown up. So it seems a little busier than half volume, but the inpatient floors, you know, again, they're busy, but we're at about half our normal census, which is really what were designed to do, right? We wanted to bring down census to be able to help care for patients if and when, not if, when the surge comes, which obviously looks like it's coming in the next, you know, 7 to 10 days by all the reports. So it's we're kind of, and that is, like I said, Plymouth, our neighbors south in Plymouth and even Needham haven't seen that level of number of patients. We can't explain it. We're looking at some data to see if there's any patterns or trend by city or not. But right now it looks like it's just hitting this area and our hospital a little bit, us maybe sooner.
To that end, Rich, what are the protocols that are in place right now to visit the hospital?
Yeah. So to visit the hospital, I'll maybe just talk about some of the protocols. Kind of, if you look back 3 weeks ago, you know, we actually collapsed. So security, we only have two entrances open. For one of them, our main entrance, Highland, is only open 6 hours a day, and then there's only one. So we've narrowed the funnel. People come in. So any patient or visitor that comes in is screened. Employees need to show their ID. We give them a mask. Every employee wears at least a surgical mask when they're here in the hospital. And then for patients, you know, we screen them to make sure it's essential. We have virtually no other visits going on. So either they're going to the emergency department, maybe they're getting a blood draw and that's required for their condition. So they would get a mask. And then for visitors, we're really, you know, ideally no visitors, but if it's an essential visitor, you know, a caretaker or someone they absolutely need there to partake in the care, you know, we really take precautions with them. In the emergency department, again, we're open. I don't want the public to think that if they're needing an emergent, you will not get COVID just by coming in here. And your medical condition, your heart, if it's a neurology or other symptoms, like, first call your primary care doctor and get some guidance, because right, hopefully with phone, but we're here if you need it. And we take extraordinary precautions to protect our staff, protect our patients, to make sure there's no spread. We have almost zero evidence that anybody, we've really spread it in the hospital because of all the precautions and other things. It's mainly in the community. And then we're just trying to prevent our staff and our providers from getting it here in the hospital. So main thing is, get care if you need it. Yeah. Talk to your primary care. And if it's an emergency or you feel it might be an emergency, to be quite honest, the waiting rooms are empty. I could show you pictures. If I walk down there now, if there were two patients in our waiting room, I'd be surprised. So,
wow, okay.
We don't want people to rush in just for a non-emergency, but clearly we're here if people need it. There was actually an article in the New York Times about people maybe not coming in as soon as they feel symptoms, and you know, we don't know necessarily if that's a good thing, particularly pain and other things that normally people come in. So we're open for business for the emergency department if they need it.
Sure. How are you equipped for personal protective equipment right now? We've heard such horrifying stories out of New York, lack of ventilators and masks and gowns and face shields. How's Milton holding up?
So PPE and social distancing, two words none of us pretty now are just common.
Right in the vernacular now, exactly. Yeah.
Everybody, I won't explain PPE, but PPE is everything from gloves to eye shields to masks to other more complicated equipment, gowns and others. So knock on wood, you can never have enough. And what we all are trying to figure out ways to conserve, stockpile, manage is, if you get a surge, you can really go through a lot of PPE very, very quickly. So we've taken some innovative steps that I know people across the country and across Massachusetts. So in some of our floors, there's literally a COVID line where we keep the nurses gowned in full protective equipment for 4 to 6 hours of their shift, so that when they're going room to room, they don't need to keep re-gowning and putting themselves at risk or burning through PPE. So right now, and this is, again, as part of being a system, I feel like we're in a pretty good place for PPE. We're conserving. We're using appropriately. We've been able to expand our standards. You know, 3 weeks ago, not every employee was wearing a mask. And you know, this is a little bit of just being extra, extra cautious. But for right now, I feel like we're in a pretty good spot, although we're constantly looking for additional resources, figuring out creative ways to conserve the facility that partners in the state got to recirculate N95 masks will be a huge help. So for right now, like, and I mentioned ventilators, We actually, like I said, got three from Plymouth, but we also got six emergency department ventilators from the state, part of the Governor Baker's initiative, just based on the number of cases and ventilators we had. So we feel pretty good about that, that we could probably almost double our ICU capacity if needed with some sort of ventilator.
So Governor also
Never enough.
Okay. Yeah. As you're well aware, the governor just earlier this week announced some financial assistance for the hospital community, healthcare community. How will that be used at Milton?
Yep. So that was primarily what you're referring to is the Medicaid piece. That was really targeted at about 28 safety net and high Medicaid hospitals.
Okay.
About 9% of patients Medicaid. So there'll be some money, but it's really trying to ensure that they have cash flow during this period of time when we've all kind of intentionally dropped our elective cases. So there'll be some there. The area that we are exploring as a system and as a hospital is really some of the Medicare payments where they're allowing you to get your historical cash flow for a time being to support us. Because, I mean, like I said, the emergency department, all elective procedures, our revenue, like every hospital across Massachusetts in this country, is just pummeled. It's not non-existent like the restaurant industry, but it's, you know, probably 50 to 60% of what we're down. So I think the community, a lot of people think hospitals are busy and booming, but we're actually, you know, probably, I would say on average, most hospitals are probably at 50 to 60% less revenue than what they do, which puts a strain on us.
Another crisis we've heard about is the lack of blood supply because so many donations are not happening. Is that something you're concerned about?
Yeah, absolutely. I know particularly some of the downtown teaching hospitals and some other specialty hospitals, that's a big issue. And right, people are practicing social distancing, not driving, but you know what? Blood is essential for many, many hospitals. We, you know, that has not hit us too critically, but I do know at some of the downtown teaching hospitals, that is a bigger issue.
Sure. So, I mean, I'm sure already looking beyond this, Rich, to see what you can implement, learning this epidemic and how that will benefit the hospital in the future. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some general pieces about, teamwork and coming together. I think telemedicine, let's face it, everybody talked about telemedicine. I think telemedicine is one thing that's going to, that's really going to stick here. I think, you know, there's a lot of unknowns. I don't, you know, coming out of this, how fast do you do it? I think we can think as an industry all we want, but there's also the whole patient and consumers of what their trepidation is going to be. So I think our job is really getting people assured that coming to a hospital and seeing your provider is still acceptable, but you know what? Some things might be perfectly reasonable for a telemedicine visit, which in the long run, I think could potentially improve access, not just here in Massachusetts, but across the country. I think it's gonna be a particular challenge for us is how do we, when this, the surge or the peak subsides, but the virus is still gonna be out there till there's a vaccine or a cure or something. So how do we protect our employees and staff and everything? Because my mantra is if we don't protect our staff and our providers, we can't take care of patients. And that's where, you know, in New York and these other places, if you have a third of your medical staff or nursing staff have to be quarantined or actually get the virus, you by definition can't take care of patients. So Our number one thing now, and I think coming out of here, is taking care of our staff and our providers to ensure that we're there when you guys need us.
Yeah, part of this whole crisis has been the allowance of folks that are in medical school or nursing school to kind of graduate early and get hit the ground running, basically. Yeah, have you seen that there?
Absolutely. In fact, I think on March 5th, we hired, there's about three or four new nurses that came on board, and they've been training in nursing assistants, and I saw it in the hallway like on March 15th, and I said, boy, you picked an interesting time to orient, but they're up there, you know, doing their thing. I know we are looking at, you know, I know at the medical center, they're looking at kind of, they've already pulled in some of their graduating residents and other folks. So that's what you do in times like this, because they're very knowledgeable, great resource, and we need them.
Yeah. This is all happening, of course, at a time when you were trying to open up your new center in Quincy Center. So how does that impact that?
You know, we're trying to keep a focus. You know, one of the things that we have some, our chief medical officer, Dr. Sheila Barnett, and our chief nursing officer, Lynn Cronin, is that they've just done a phenomenal job. I mean, both the crisis management and, you know, really managing critical care patients and garnering resources, they've done phenomenal. I've tried to keep us every periodically thinking, all right, what's next coming through? And, you know, we are trying to keep the gas down and getting the Quincy site open. We've been working with the landlord just on some infrastructure issues, but we still aim to have it open by the end of the calendar year. It'll get a little delayed here just because of our inability to focus, but we're very excited about that. And, you know, it's going to have primary care. It'll have emergency physician level urgent care, and then specialty care, which, you know, we've been interviewing people through Zoom and Skype and other ways, some of our new orthopedic providers, and we've hired another pulmonologist that will probably do some sessions there too. So we're trying to keep an eye out through the other side, and we're really excited to be part of Quincy, that site.
Yeah. Bigger picture, Rich, I'm just thinking, you know, in your career in the healthcare industry and what we've seen happen in this country, it seems like we were kind of, you know, caught off guard, if you will, really weren't prepared for something of this magnitude. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I guess I would say, you know, I think it's human nature, I think, for to not think that it'll happen to you. But I think at the, you know, state, federal level, I think that we probably were a little slow to react. And I know there's been, pandemic type planning that I know was not totally supported over the last several years. I think this will be a wake-up call. For that. I think us as a healthcare system, right, I think we've learned a lot about what we could do differently. And it's been amazing some of the innovation that people have done, even within Beth Israel Lahey Health or at Partners or other places, to whether it's, you know, producing new tests or, the instruments for swabbing. It's been incredible type of work. But I guess if this happens every 100 years, you know, I'm not sure how you plan for it, but I can guarantee you both at a Massachusetts and I'm hoping at a federal level that we take note of this and spend some of the resources, even if at the time it seems like, you know, what are we planning for? But I think it's really important. Hopefully this will be a wake-up call across all sectors.
One of the main focuses has been testing. That seems to just be so crucial to get a kind of a good grip as to what actually is going on. Is that that's what you think is important?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we are still at a system. We're not testing the worried well. We're testing admitted patients, high risk. We're expanding that as best we can. But even within our system, the swabs have been our limiting factor, which I say in this country, in this state, that should not be limiting us. So it's picked up. It's definitely improved and we're seeing it. But, you know, I think a lot of, as you've seen in other countries, you know, if we could be testing more people right now, I think it'd give us a little bit sense of comfort. And particularly, I think when there is a virus, when there is a vaccine or some other, that'll become increasingly tested that we can do that quickly as well.
Sure. What actually are you not able to do at BID Milton right now? What has kind of been put on the back burner because of this?
Related to PPE or just in general?
In general.
Yeah, in general. I would say it's doing what we do best, which is serving the community, not just in a time of crisis. Mm-hmm. You know, not having, you know, elective surgery. Mm-hmm. Right? We had some looking at some building master planning here at the hospital. Obviously, that's been put on pause. Okay. You know, we've thought about growth strategies for next year. I mean, it is a little blurry what the next 6 to 9 months look like. Right. For everybody. I mean, it's not just at Milton. So what we're trying to focus, you know, on the thing. Well, we don't know. There's a lot of unknowns, but, you know, from a personal perspective, I know the courage and the passion and the teamwork that we have with our staff, that's as strong as ever. And that'll get us through here. And then as the clouds part a little bit and we all get a little clarity on how we can start to get back to, quote, normal,
yeah,
I have no doubt we and across Massachusetts will be able to do it in a right and thoughtful way. But, you know, Quincy would be one thing where it's just got a little delayed, and then some other plans we had will have to be kind of revisited at some point in time. But The focus is now, right? We've got to get this this crisis.
Anything that you'd like from the community that they can help you with?
Yeah, so I would just say, I think, you know, again, for the most part, I think people have been doing the great, whether it's washing hands, wearing masks, these things matter now. They matter 2 weeks ago, and they're going to matter going forward. I would say coming to a hospital, like I said, know that your hospital is open, and BID is here to serve you, particularly for an emergency. Don't let it wait. Don't sit at home and wait till you're in a more difficult shape. I'd also say a lot of people, you know, people want to donate things. Mm-hmm. And we actually, if you go to our website, you know, we have, you know, specifically around PPE and other things. There are definitely things that I know people either can support directly through financial, or maybe they know someone who can help get us qualified PPE. So it's called Healthcare for Heroes. Healthcare Heroes Fund is a fund we started to help support all of us, whether it's PPE or new equipment we needed to buy, or just supporting our staff who, you know, we're trying to take care of as best we can. But those would be the two biggest things. You know, I just caution people, whether it's our hospital or not, you know, we can't accept just food at the door, although right. I know food is a way to people's hearts. Right. But if they want to get involved in that, we definitely have systems in place to help get food to us. It's just bringing your brownies, which I love, just isn't the right thing for obvious public health reasons.
Yeah. But
the other one I would just say is just support and thank the people in your town, in your city, who are helping in some way. If there's a creative way, you know, whether it's social media or signs on your lawn, our healthcare providers and first responders are just doing an amazing job. And I think letting them know that on a regular basis, both now and in the future, is going to be critically important.
Yeah, I've seen some of the photos from your staff, nurses wearing the Superman emblems on their chest.
Yeah. They're just amazing. I mean, they've just rolled with the punches, right? They've new routines, having to change their clothes when they get here. I mean, it's just amazing. And that's what keeps me going every night. I know every morning the sun's going to come up, and we're going to have some amazing staff here that are ready to serve the patients that are here.
Sure. Anything else you'd like to share, Rich?
No, I appreciate you doing this, the creativity, and I look forward to, you know, getting our site open in Quincy, and really hope over the next 7 to 8 days as a community, we can all move together through this crisis.
Great. Well, really appreciate your time, and hopefully we'll be able to do it again face-to-face in person real soon.
The masked man.
There he is. And there is a proper way to take those on and off, too. I've seen online.
You've got to be careful. I mean, from a public health, you do not want to touch your mask, right? So you always want to get it off and put it down somewhere gently. And obviously wash your hands before and after you put it on. So
absolutely, yeah. And dispose of those properly. I've seen some stories of folks just tossing them out in the environment. Yeah. Not appropriate.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks again, Rich.
All right, Joe. Thanks. Great to see you.
You too. Take care.